Mark chapter 12. Looks like we're going to finish up Mark chapter 12 this morning, if all goes well. And so we're going to be starting in verses 41 through 44. We're going to be talking about giving God everything to God. And I don't want you to think that this is a message preaching about money. That isn't what I'm talking about here. I know that the example that we get in this particular story is dealing with financial giving, but it's dealing with more than just financial giving. What we're going to find in this story is it's talking about giving God everything so that He can really take care of us. And it's interesting how God does that. You know, the way I've looked at it, I've begun to understand it. You know, Jesus told us a lot of things about storing up our treasures in heaven, where nothing can destroy it. What are our treasures? What's really our treasures? You know, it's more than just our money. You know, we're not, I don't know of any of you guys out there, really honestly, that are anything but generous folks. And I appreciate that about this church. I mean, when there's a need, I have watched this church go directly to that need, and folks that have a lot and folks that have a little, it doesn't matter. You're willing to give what you can. And so this is not an opportunity to try to leverage you to give more money, because that isn't even the point. And if y'all know me, you're going to know I'm not one that really thinks a whole lot about money either. Money's just a tool in this world, and it's a reality. But I'm going to tell you, it all belongs to God. And, you know, whenever I came full-time at this church, there was discussion, you know, what if, because the church really didn't have the finances to support a full-time preacher. But we just knew that I needed to be able to be more available than what I was able to whenever I was still carrying on family business and everything. And I can tell you, it was like two full-time jobs. And if anybody's ever tried to do two full-time jobs, you'll find out you can't do it for very long. Well, I did it for 2 years, and I was just about done. And the church called me full-time, because there were so many needs, and it was hard to take care of all of them without the amount of time. And I remember a discussion come up, well, what if we get into hard times and we can't pay you your full paycheck? And I appreciated the individual that brought that up, because they were thinking about me. And I said, you know, then I said, well, we'll just deal with that when the time comes, but we're going to trust God. And, you know, there were times whenever the checkbook of this church got down to about $400. That's how much we had available. And I'm just going to tell you, at times it looked a little uncertain. But you know what? God has never let us down, not one time. We submitted it to God, and we trusted God, and God has always come through. And there's never been one time in the 12 years I've been here that we have done anything but make all of our bills. We've never had to skip a bill to pay another. We've always had enough. And at times we couldn't see how it happened. I know y'all can give those types of testimonies about your family as well. Amen? There's times that we look at our checkbook and we say it's just impossible, but God just has a way of doing it when it's submitted to Him. It's amazing. But you know what I think? If we withhold it from God and we don't give it to Him, He can't really do that with it. You remember the thing where they had like 5,000 plus people out on the countryside and Jesus said, "You give them something to eat." And they said, "What are you... Are you kidding?" It'd take, you know, I don't even remember what all kind of examples that they gave. You know, it'd take many days' wages to feed all this many people. I mean, we don't have that kind of resources out here. And a little boy came with his lunch that his mama had packed for him. And he said, "Here it is." It was a little lunch. It was a few small fish. And, a couple fish and a few loaves. And I'm telling you, they weren't loaves. They were loaves. They were like little pieces of flat bread. But with Jesus, it was enough. It was not only enough, there were leftovers. He blessed it. He broke it. He gave it to them, and He said, "You feed the people." And I'm going to tell you, when we give it to Jesus, He can multiply it no matter what it is. That's our life. That's our dearest things to us, our family and everything. One more little story before I get started. I know you guys are saying, let's get into the scriptures, and we're going to. But I have one more small example that I wanted to give this morning. Do y'all remember when we had the really bad tornado in Joplin? Y'all remember that? I don't remember how many years ago that was. I'm bad with time. But what I know is it took a mile-wide path, 6 miles long, and it tore everything down. I mean, it devastated Joplin. And I just wanted to help in some small way. I couldn't give much, but Shelly and I, we hopped in a little truck and we headed down there to work a couple days. I couldn't even stay very long. Whenever I got down there, we were working with the crew, and we noticed in the morning when we all came together for prayer, you know, I mean, I felt strong. I felt physically able. I was thankful to be able to offer that strength to try to help in that area. I love to run a chainsaw. You know, I love to do that kind of work. So to me, it was like giving something out of my joy and my abundance. You know what I'm saying? I did that my whole life. So like, I'm very familiar. I feel comfortable in that arena. Well, we looked around one morning, me and a couple other guys that were a little younger and stronger than me, and we were looking around that morning, everybody gathering together with prayer, and we were looking at the group that was there to serve. Guys, there was a around an 80-year-old guy wearing a neck brace. He couldn't even hold his head up straight. And he walks up, I mean, and I noticed he had been with the crew earlier in the week, several days before. And here he is gathering with the work crews to pray because he's going out to work. There was another lady came in with a blind cane. And I guess it was her husband beside her leading her along. You know, I went out on a job and I saw her dragging brush. You know, there was a lot of people. There was a guy on our crew that was a former captain at another job that I had gone to, a former captain of a firehouse who was 87 years old, dragging brush with our crew on another job that I'd been to. Here's the deal. I was given out of my abundance. They were given out of their poverty. Maybe I could do a little more physical work than some of those folks, but I'll tell you, I think it blessed God's heart that they even showed up. He's looking at me thinking, big deal. He's looking at them and saying, look at that. This other young guy came over to me. We're all gathered around to, you know, to pray. And you know, he turned around and he looked at me. And he goes, do you see that over there? A blind lady and a man with a neck brace on. He said, man, that just takes away all of our excuses, doesn't it? And you know what? That's the body of Christ. We offer what we got. We've all got a different amount to offer, but when we give it to Jesus, He multiplies it. That was just a, you know, example that just really has always blessed my heart. I'll never forget those days. But let's look at Mark chapter 12, and we're going to see where Jesus gives an illustration here. Now, y'all remember, He had just gotten through talking to the scribe, and then He went on to say, beware of the scribes in verse 38. I'm going to kind of catch us all up to date here. Who desire to go around in long robes, love greetings in the marketplaces, the best seats in the synagogues, and the best places at the feasts, and devour widows' houses. And for a pretense, make long prayers. These will receive greater condemnation. Now, verse 41 is where we're going to pick it up. Now, Jesus sat opposite the treasury. Okay, this would have been the temple. And this would have been where they brought their offerings. And I'm going to give you just a little bit of insight into what this looked like. Apparently, there were like 13 metal horns that kind of were mounted on a large box. Okay? And these horns were sticking out there that people could walk by and drop their offering into them as they went. Okay. So what would happen is, if you're a really rich person and you really wanted to look awesome in front of everybody, you'd like drop your offering in with lots of coins. Okay? That way, every one of them that you dropped in that horn made a really loud noise and made everybody look. Oh, look how holy they are. They're giving a lot. So, these horns are out there, and we've got all these people coming by, and Jesus just made this reference to those who are trying to live out their religiosity so that other people admire them. And He's watching with His disciples as the offering is being taken up at the treasury. And many who were rich put in much. Verse 42, Then one poor widow came and threw in two mites, which make a quadrants. Does anybody have a footnote on that? Tell me how much that worth that was. Roman coin. Does anybody have an equivalence in their footnote? It was actually less than a penny. It was less than a penny. I think it was right around a 50th of a denarius. Everything was kind of measured by a denarius because a denarius was one day's pay for a normal laborer. So we're talking about a 50th of a normal day's wage, somewhere in there. Okay? Less than a penny. So you guys do the math. You had many rich people who put in a lot. Okay, that would have been more than a penny, right? We can at least say that much. And we have this poor widow who put in less than a penny. Who gave more money? Who gave more money out of the two? A rich person or the widow? Who gave in more money? If you counted their money, the rich person gave more money. Okay, you guys are already ahead of me. You've done read through the thing, and you're trying to give the Sunday school answer. But what I want you to do is do the math. They gave more money, dollars, whatever you want to call it, denarii or whatever. They gave more. And I think they were feeling pretty proud of themselves for it, don't you all think? But let's read. All right, you guys already know the rest of the story. I know that because you're showing me that. Awesome. But let's continue to read on. So he called his disciples to himself and said, "Assuredly I say to you that this poor widow put in more than all those who have given to the treasury, for they put in out of their abundance, but she out of her poverty put in all that she had, her whole livelihood." Let's pray. Dear Father, you're showing us something through this teaching of Jesus right now about what you see when we give. Help us not to compare ourselves to others. Help us to allow you to lead us in that we would give of ourselves, our time, talents, and yes, even our money, according to how you would lead us, because it's what we give to you that honestly we get to keep. The stuff we hold back for ourselves is going to rot in our hands. And so, Lord, help us to give you everything. In Jesus' name, amen. And you notice something about this. He says that out of her poverty, she put in all that she had, her whole livelihood, and he doesn't criticize her for it. He'd just gotten through saying that now those scribes, they want to steal it from her. Didn't he say that? They're trying to steal it from her. But whenever it came down to her willingly giving it, he gives the greatest of compliments to her. What an amazing thing this is. Guys, it was all that she had. What was she going to buy lunch with? You know why she gave all? Because she trusted God would take care of her. Do you think that she was wise in doing that, or do you think she was foolish in doing that? She was wise, wasn't she? Okay, now let's get the money out of the factor for ourselves. Let's just forget about money for a minute. We're all way too focused on it, right? Because your bills keep coming. We are forced to be focused on money in this world. Let's get the money out of the way, and let's just say, what's the most important thing you can give God? Really, yourself and your time, isn't it? Your soul first and your time second, because you will never get your time back. I've made and lost money. A lot of it's passed through my hands. Not much of it stays there. I figured that one out. You know? But here's the deal. Whatever I've sent forward to heaven, I'm going to go catch up to it someday. And you say, so how can we send it forward to heaven? I think you can give of yourself out of faith to God. And then God will multiply it and do something with it. And I'll just say, that money that we raised for the Annie Armstrong offering, can you imagine getting to heaven someday and seeing people there because of the mission work that's being done in North America right now. It is going to be awesome. It's like for sure going to happen, guys. That neighbor that you were nice to whenever they were really down or they were having a hard time and you just did an act of kindness, and maybe they realized and came to the Lord one day further down the road. Can you imagine seeing them in heaven? Being with them forever again? Can you imagine your children that you're building into their lives? Can you imagine that individual that was really down, you saw him in the store, and you could just tell from across the room because God gave you discernment to see it. And you could tell that they were feeling down, maybe desperate. You don't know how desperate. And you just said something nice to them and smiled and said, God bless you. Maybe it started a conversation that went further. Maybe it didn't. But maybe they remembered what someone else told them earlier about God's love for them, and it sealed the deal. And they went home in their desperation when you weren't even there and you didn't see any of it, and they surrendered their life to Christ. You see, you made an investment in heaven by denying yourself and giving to God. That was an opportunity that God gave you. Well, this widow didn't have much to give, but I'll tell you what she did have. She gave it. And you know, a lot of times we talk ourselves out of giving, not just money, but of our time, because we think, what do I really have to offer? Have you ever felt that way? Why would God want what I have? Well, I'm going to tell you, if you're the one who's standing there at that time, then you're the one he chose to do it. He will multiply it and he will make it what it needs to be so that it brings about abundance in the heavenly realm. And you know what? That little bit that you gave of yourself, you might think, well, if I do that, what am I going to have to give myself? God will multiply what you have so that you have enough too. It's so awesome to see him do it. He blesses both ends as he blesses the middle as well. You see, with us, we see things with our eyes. So his disciples are sitting over there, and they're probably thinking, man, listen to how much those rich people are giving. And Jesus is watching and saying, look how much she gave. Because you see, man's looking with the eyes, but God sees the heart. And that's what we see. Jesus is expressing that he sees the heart of this poor widow. Let's also look at 1 Samuel 16:7. It'll be up on the screen. But the Lord said to Samuel, Samuel went to look for the next king of Israel, and he went to the family that God told him to go to, and his family had more than one son. So it was going to be, he had a lot to choose from, but he had to trust God. And he's seeing these really tall, great, strong, young men, and God's saying, no, that ain't the one I've chosen. That ain't the one I've chosen. But the Lord said to Samuel, do not look at his appearance or the height of his stature, because I have refused him, for the Lord does not see as man sees, for man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. The Lord looks at the heart. Guys, don't ever try to hide from God. It won't work. He sees us in our heart. We need to ask him to refine what's in our heart. We need to not be just looking at everything from the mere appearance and be looking at the heart. And whenever you look at the heart, it's so amazing. You know, some people say, well, I give 10% of my income, so I'm really holy. I hope you do. I hope that you're starting there. I really do. I remember Sister Geraldine always said, you know, I start with the 10%. That's my tithe. But she said, I like to give the love offering. She considered the tithe to be the tithe, and then the everything over to be out of love. Well, I hope you consider the tithe to be out of love too, but I kind of like the way she explained it. She always got a joy out of giving more. And it wasn't just money. You know, she found out my mom was struggling through a time whenever she lost her husband, and Geraldine could really connect with that. She lost her husband. Man, she sent food, you know. She would send whatever she could to try to show love. And I always loved that about her. You know, anybody, how many of you guys knew Geraldine? Some of you didn't know her. Well, if you didn't, you'll get to know her, because if you're going to heaven, she'll be there when you get there. I look forward to that. You know, she was just a really a wonderful person that, she didn't have a lot. And boy, she, whenever it came to giving, she always felt like she needed to give something, and she, it was a joy to her. And her family a lot of times would criticize her, and they'd say, one of these days, Geraldine, you're going to need, and you're not going to have it. Well, you know, I had kind of a close relationship with her, and she put me in and trusted me with different aspects, even whenever she got close to the time she was going to die. And at the end of her life, I got to see, you know what, God made it last. What she had, he made it last. She just about got a chance to spend almost every penny of it before she died. Isn't that awesome? I mean, God knew how long she was going to live. And he put it in her heart, and she just tried to follow God. And I'm going to tell you, God made it last. She never did without. That's awesome. Some of her family said, boy, isn't that a shame she didn't have more left in the bank after she died. And I'm thinking, that's the way I want to go. Sorry, kids. It ain't going to be worth that much splitting it up eight ways anyways. So I might as well go ahead and give it to God. It'll be worth more there, right? And that's the way I think God says, you know, yeah, there's some that give 10%. And if a guy's like Bill Gates and he gave 10%, which he gives it to the wrong things, but let's say he gave it to the right things, and he gave 10%, it'd be a whole lot more than if I gave 100% of mine if you did the math. But God's math is different. God's math is different. And that's why he said, for that poor widow gave more than all the rest. Right? Because they were given out of their abundance, but she gave out of the poverty. Out of her poverty, and she put all that she had, her whole livelihood, in that thing. Who was she giving it to? Was she just giving it to those scribes? No, she was looking at God when she gave that money. And we know that those scribes, they weren't all honest people, and neither were the, you know, so we really can't use that as an excuse, you know, because they weren't either, and Jesus doesn't criticize her for it. I'll tell you, I think that was the smartest lady in the crowd that day, because that fraction of a penny wasn't going to buy her much. But when she gave it to God, it was though she was investing it in heaven, the one who was going to take care of her. So I'm going to tell you, in math, Bill Gates' 10% would be more than my 100%. But I want to praise God that ain't the way God's looking at it. Because I can tell you, God don't need anything from us. He owns the cattle on 1,000 hills, and he owns the hills too. So like, he's good. He's got it already. He wants us to do it so that we share in his joy. And that's your time, talent, and your resources, but most of all, your heart. God wants you to give him your heart. Remember, that's what Jesus said. He said, you know, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. He wants our soul. So what does God take note of? He doesn't just take note of the dollar amount. He's taking note of the heart of faith. That's what he's noticing, is the faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please God, the Bible tells us. So how much should we give God? Here's what I'm thinking. Only that which we want to keep forever. Do you want to keep it forever? Then give it to God. That includes like our children and everything, right? You know, I woke up one day, and I'm just going to tell you, I have the same fears and anxieties about, you know, something bad happening to somebody close to me or something like that. But you know what? God just told me something one time. He said, you know, if you give them to me, I can take care of it. And I'm thinking, well, you already own everything, right? So why do I have to do it? Because he wants us to trust him. That's what faith is. Let's go to the next slide. You see, as we decide that we want to keep it forever, then we follow Jesus' example here in Matthew 6, 19 through 21. Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where the moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in to steal. Guys, I'll tell you what, the best security system is in heaven. It's better than Fort Knox. If we send it to there, nothing can steal it away. And you say, well, how can I send it there? Commit it to God. Then it's His. Commit yourself to God. You're His. Commit everything to God. It's His, right? Even my car belongs to God. If He wants to let it break down, that's His car that's breaking down, not mine. That's really how I view it, because it's all His. If He wants to use part of my money to fix that car, it's not my money anyways, it's His money, so He's fixing that car with His money. And that would have been money that He could have used somewhere else if He wanted to, because it's all His, so that's up to Him. He can allocate it how He wants, and I'm not going to stress out. Well, I do sometimes. Pray for me. I pray for you. And we'll just try to keep it together, right? And we'll try to keep the focus together. We're going to encourage one another, because we all get stressed out sometimes. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. That's what He wants. He wants our heart, our desire. He wants us to be fully submitted, fully connected to Him. And guys, if you try to hang on to it, somebody's going to steal it or it's going to go bad. Okay? Do you ever hang on to that, you know, that best, I'll tell you a little story. We had, what was it, 2 cherries on our tree last year? The frost always gets our fruit. And it's a real bummer. I mean, it's a huge cherry tree, and it had blooms all over it, and we got like 2. Well, I went ahead and decided. Mine looked pretty ripe. One of them was mine, one of them was Shelly's. Kids were just out. Sorry, guys. Well, you know, we spied these cherries, and I decided they're sweet cherries, too. I decided mine looks like it could get a little bit riper, but you know what? I always heard the saying, a bird in hand's worth 2 in the bush. I went ahead and invested it in myself. I gave thanks to God first, and I went ahead and ate my cherry. Shelly wanted hers to get just a little bit riper, and a crazy bird came along and stole that cherry the next day. Isn't that a bummer? Sorry, hon. Mine was really good. I would have shared it with you. But, you know, sometimes when you seek to hang on to something a little too long, it vanishes. And a lot of us are intending to give to God tomorrow. But you better watch out, because something might come and you won't ever get a chance. So go ahead and invest it, and where your treasure is, there your heart's going to be also. Because we don't want some bird to come along and steal it. And, you know, a lot of times those birds that steal the seed off the ground are representative of the enemy's kingdom. It happens. You're going to, you know, guys, if you invest things in God, God will never let it go bad. Look at what 2 Timothy Paul says. I love this part. This is a verse that I remind myself of all the time. For this reason, I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, so Paul suffered. Paul had hard times. Paul was mentoring Timothy. Paul was raising up his son in the faith so that his son in the faith would carry on the ministry after he's gone. 2 Timothy, as we know it, is the last letter Paul ever wrote before he went and was martyred. And he's giving these last instructions to Timothy. But man, these are instructions that have hope. Listen to what he says. He says, for this reason I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed. Guys, I'm going to tell you, they were accusing him of everything under the book, in the book. And I mean, they were all over this guy, making him look like public enemy number one. And he's saying, I'm not ashamed. You know why? Because I know whom I've believed. And I am persuaded that he is able to keep what I have committed to him until that capital D day, guys. The day of judgment, the day when he stood before Jesus and he knew that he had submitted his life to Jesus and nobody could take it from him. That it was reserved for God himself. Commit it to God. That's how we keep it. That's how we keep it, is by committing it to God. Right down to that very life breath. As Jesus reminded us in Matthew 16, verses 24 through 26, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross and follow me. Remember, guys, I told you, this ain't about money. It's about us. It's about our everything. And he says, for whoever desires to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. For what profit is it to a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? I'll tell you guys, went to a church one time visiting, trying to find a church. You know, I don't know about you guys, if you ever went around and visited a lot of churches to try to figure out what church God wanted you to go to, but we experienced different things when we went to different churches. Went to one church, and they decided they hadn't gotten enough in the offering plate the first time they passed it around. So they stopped the service, and they had one of their leaders come up, and he said, we counted what was in the offering plate, and it ain't enough. And so they said, we're passing them again. So this time, you make sure you put in enough. I'm going to tell you, that was the most distasteful thing I think I'd ever experienced in a church. You know, guys, I'm going to tell you, God will make it enough. You're never going to come to this church and see any of us trying to demand money out of anybody, because that ain't even the point. God will supply for what he wants to do. We don't even pass the plate anymore. It's just there. And if you want to visit it, that's your business. And I'm going to be honest with you. I don't know how much any of you guys ever give, because I don't want to know. It's not my business. I stay out of that part. The only one I know in this church how much we give is me and my wife. And that's between us and God. And I'll never share it with anybody else in here, because that's our business with God. And I want it to be your business with God. And you know what? God will make it enough. What I really want to encourage you to do is give him your heart. And I'm going to tell you, if you're a sold-out believer, nobody has to beg you to give toward good causes, because God's living in you, and he'll show you what to give for. He'll show you how to be generous. He'll put a burden on your heart. So what we really need to do is this last thought. Just be rich toward God. Be rich toward God. Luke chapter 12, verses 20 through 21. But God said to him, "You fool." Let's go ahead and turn to that area of Scripture. I want the bigger passage. Luke chapter 12. You guys can follow me over there if you want. Luke chapter 12. Starting in verse 20. Well, we'll back up to 16. Then he spoke parable to them, saying, "The ground of a certain rich man yielded plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, 'What shall I do, since I have no room to store my crops?' So he said, 'I will do this. I will pull down my barns and will build greater. And there I will store all my crops and goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, you have many goods laid up for many years. Take your ease, eat, drink, and be merry.'" Guys, do you ever read this before? This probably isn't the first time you've read this, right? Did you notice something that guy didn't do? He didn't pray. He didn't ask God. He didn't ask God, "Why'd you give me this abundance?" He didn't ask God, "Do you have a special plan for this?" He didn't ask God, "Is there somebody around me that could use part of this?" He didn't ask God. Who gave him that? God. Why did God give it to him? Because he had a plan. Now let's go ahead and look at the rest of the parable. So again, we're going to read verse 19 in that context. He had an eye problem. "And I will say to my soul, soul, you have many goods laid up for many years. Take your ease, eat, drink, and be merry." But God said to him, "Fool, this night your soul will be required of you. Then whose will those things be which you have provided? So is he who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God." Guys, let's just ask God what we should do with what he has allowed to flow through us. You know, our church has really been blessed with an abundance this past year, and we've been praying and we've been asking God. And at the last business meeting, we approved to start supporting some church plants in northern India, because God's really been blessing, and we know he wants us to make disciples of all nations. He's allowed us to use some of the money locally, and we've been doing some different projects locally. We've been building into people's lives and seeing God bring about increase. And then we look toward, what's our Samaria? What's our Judea, right? Because we're to be witnesses in all these places. And what's the uttermost parts of the earth? Well, I'm going to tell you, we're going to get to share monthly with church starts in northern India, where it's the hardest on pastors to try to start churches. Guys, they are undergoing amazing persecution right now. And this church is going to be able to supply $600 a month to help start these churches. Isn't that awesome? And you're going to see Indian people in heaven, every nation, tribe, and tongue. You're going to be able to understand them, and we're going to get to see that Cadet Baptist Church got to help make disciples in India. Then our IMB mission that we give toward every year around Christmas, we call it the Lottie Moon. And we are able to give directly to our Southern Baptist missionaries all over the world. And your cooperative program dollars that we take a tithe from what the church brings in every week, and we send it to the cooperative program and the Annie Armstrong for the North American missions. Guys, I'm telling you, what you're doing is investing in the kingdom of heaven. And we are going to see an increase. I'm going to tell you, the church is growing worldwide right now like they've never seen before. Coming out of this COVID scare, people want hope. And missionaries who have got their boots on the ground, 3,500 missionaries that are Southern Baptist supported right now in other countries. And they're wanting to put another 500 on in the next 5 years. So we give, we pray, and guys, some of us even go. Is God calling you to go? He may be. You know the right answer to God? There's only one right answer. You tell me what it is. Yes. Yes, Lord. If He's your Lord, there's only one right answer. Anything else is disobedience. What's He calling us to do? How to give? And maybe even go. Let's give it to Him. Whatever we give to Him, He will keep until that day. It'll be there when we get there, guys. Let's not be like that fool who said, I'm going to keep it for myself, because we don't get to keep anything. Done a lot of funerals, and I've never seen a U-Haul behind the hearse. Sorry, kids. We're probably not going to leave a big inheritance. But I hope that we're leaving the inheritance of faith, because it's the only thing that matters. Let's pray. Dear God, we're going to have a time of invitation. And as we are here, we've gathered together in faith to worship You. There may be somebody here that's sitting here and they say, you know, I just don't know that I've ever given my heart to Jesus. Today would be the day of salvation for that individual. It's time. They're here because You brought them here. They may have just realized that You are the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through You, Jesus. They may be just now realizing that You're the one who lived a perfect life that none of us could live. You didn't deserve to die, and when You gave Your life on the cross, it was payment for our sins. It's the only payment that is acceptable in Your sight is the righteousness of Christ. That You rose on the third day. If we believe those things, then there is no reason why we should not call on You as our Lord. And so, Lord, please just bless that individual, whoever it may be, to be willing to turn their life over to You today. Maybe they need to come forward and confess that to the rest of the group here, Lord, because we can't just be an undercover Christian. You say that if we confess with our mouth, Lord Jesus, and believe in our heart that God raised Him from the dead, then we shall be saved. And so, Lord, please help us to respond to Your call in our life today. Maybe we're realizing that we're holding back from You in other areas of our life. And so, Lord, there's no shame, there's no blame here. There's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. But if You're showing us that, let us move toward You. Let us remedy that problem. Let us give everything to you. Let us just submit to you, the Lord, whatever you want from me. I belong to you. It belongs to you. It's all yours, 100%. My life, my family, my heart, and yeah, even my money. Because it ain't mine, it's yours, and I want you to show me how to spend it. So Lord, please help us to put everything in that offering, that treasury to God. Not just this offering plate here at this church, but I mean that spiritual offering to you of our life being a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable, which is our reasonable service. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of our minds to prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God in Christ Jesus. So Lord, we submit ourselves to you here today. Let us do it publicly, let us do it willingly, and let us live for you. In Jesus' name, amen. That's all.